We're in Acts chapter 7, verse number 29. And this evening we're looking at faithfulness in the face of rejection. I planned to preach this about 3 weeks ago, but some other things came up and I dealt with those. But being faithful in the face of rejection, as we look at Moses and what he went through. In Acts chapter 7, verse 29, then fled Moses at this saying, and was a stranger in the land of Midian, where he begat two sons. And when 40 years were expired, there appeared to him in the wilderness of Mount Sinai an angel of the Lord in a flame of fire in a bush. When Moses saw it, he wondered at the sight. And as he drew near to behold it, the voice of the Lord came unto him, saying, I am the God of thy fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Then Moses trembled and durst not behold. Then said the Lord, put off thy shoes from thy feet, for the place where thou standest is holy ground. I have seen the affliction of my people which is in Egypt, and I have heard their groaning, and am come down to deliver them, and come now, I will send thee into Egypt. This Moses whom they refused, saying, who made thee a ruler and a judge? The same did God send to be a ruler and a deliverer by the hand of the angel which appeared to him in the bush. He brought them out after that he had showed wonders and signs in the land of Egypt and in the Red Sea and in the wilderness 40 years. Father, we come before you, Lord, asking you, God, to help us. You're the God of gods and the Lord of lords, and there's nothing too hard for thee, Lord. We ask you to help us, Lord, to speak to our hearts, to help our church in what we're going through now. And I pray that you would. I pray you'd guide us. I pray that the preaching of your word would encourage us. And thank you, Lord, for the faithfulness of those that have gone before, that have set a good example for us, Lord, that we can follow after. We praise you for that, Lord. Praise you that you are faithful always. Lord, help us to live by your faith and to walk in truth, to walk in the light of your word. And God, thank you for the gift of eternal life. Thank you for salvation, but not just that, Lord, but being our friend. And that we can draw nigh to you. God, we just ask you to help us now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, we know that Moses didn't exactly go about delivering the children of Israel from bondage the right way when he did it his way. He murdered a man and thought that the people were going to see this and say, hey, this is great, because he didn't intend to murder the man, but he did do that. He just tried to, well, maybe not, as I may be mixing it up. He probably did intend to murder the man. He looked around. Actually, he did intend to murder the man. But his intentions were to help the children of Israel. And because he kind of jumped the gun, I personally believe that had he waited on God, I don't think he would have had to wait 40 years. I think it could have been sooner. I can't prove this biblically. This is just my opinion. But I believe he kind of jumped the gun there, and God says, now you're going to have to wait some time. Things need to take place. This Pharaoh needs to be gone and all of that. You know, we don't get to say how it could have gone another way. I'm just saying I think he jumped the gun. That's my own personal opinion. And he didn't exactly do things the way that God had desired for him. But God was not done with him. And he was still God's chosen servant. Yet he was rejected by God's people. And that is a recurring theme throughout the Bible and throughout biblical New Testament Christianity, is that God's servant is often rejected by God's people. Now, Moses, like Joseph, is also a type of Christ. Moses came unto his own, and his own received him not. Isn't that what happened? He went to them, and they said, who made thee a ruler and a judge over us? They rejected Moses, just like the children of Israel rejected Christ. Moses was misunderstood. He came to help them. He wanted to help them, deliver them from this bondage. He saw them in the bondage that they were in, and it grieved him. And he said, I want to help. I want to get them out of this. So he went about doing it, but they misunderstood him. Jesus was also misunderstood. They didn't understand the reason that he came. They thought he came to be king. And yes, he is king, but that's not why he came. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Even those that were looking to him, they wanted to lift him up and make him a king. And he said, no, that's not why I'm here. They misunderstood why he came. They misunderstood who he was. There were some that didn't believe he was God. They rejected that still to this day. They misunderstood most of his teaching. I mean, he was misunderstood just as Moses was misunderstood. They thought that Moses came down from his great position to lord it over them and to take advantage of his position and judge them. But he didn't come to do that. He came to identify with them and save them. He didn't come down as he could have, saying, I'm the son of Pharaoh and I have this authority over you. No, he didn't come down like that. He came down to identify with them. Just like Christ, when he took on the form of a man, he came to identify with us. And he was tempted in all points, like as we are, yet without sin. Okay? He became a little lower than the angels in taking on the form of a man. So Moses came to identify with the people and save them. So did Christ. Moses is now in a foreign land, and as he's in a foreign land, he finds a Gentile bride and finds new joy as sons are born to him. This is what happened to Moses. He has to flee for his life because of what he did. So he's in a foreign land. He finds a Gentile bride and has sons born to him, which bring him joy. That's the same thing the Lord did. He left heaven. He's in a foreign land. Just, okay, this is fits with the kingdom of God. This is why, you know, my kingdom is not of this world. Okay, we're embassies. We're in a foreign land. All right, that's what we are. We're of in the world, but not of the world. Okay, we're in this foreign land. All right, that's what Christ came to do. He came to this foreign land and sought out a Gentile bride. For the most part, that is what the New Testament church is. I'm not saying there's not Jews in it, but for the most part, it's been made up of Gentiles. The great majority, the vast majority of the New Testament church is made up of Gentiles, okay? And God told them he was going to do that. All right, after Israel as a whole, their final rejection of Christ with the murder of Stephen, they would now be left to trials, burdens, and tribulations from their foes. Okay, when you look at this rejection of what we're looking at right here, what we're reading through Stephen's preaching this message and the Jews' essential rejection of Jesus Christ. I'm not saying it completely stopped here, but kind of as a whole, this is where the Jews made their decision and they for the most part, rejected Christ. And after this, just read through the book of Acts. You can see they try and take it to the Jews, but the Jews, for the most part, do not receive it. And this is where Paul says, well, we turn to the Gentiles then. And this is where the spread of the gospel goes. It really goes to the Gentiles because of their rejection of him here. So, after this, they're left to trials, burdens, tribulations from all their enemies. And this has been the history of the Israelites from this time we're looking at here going forward. This has been what's happened with them. This has been the story of the Jews. Just look back at when you go and look at World War II, the things that happened there. I mean, that is a picture of God said these things are going to happen to the Jews when you look at this. And this is what's happened to them. So they have been definitely going through trials, burdens, and tribulations from their foes. And now, as they reject Moses, they're going to go through trials, burdens, and tribulations. And that's what happened. That is what's happened. When the Jews rejected Moses right here, the story's talking about, they're left to their imprisonment, they're in slavery, and they're left to deal with those things essentially on their own. And God likens what they went through there as a furnace and them going through those trials there in that furnace. God likens it to that, what the children of Israel went through. But this is after their rejection of Moses. Again, Moses, a type of Christ. The rejected one, Moses, was sent back the second time to be a ruler and a deliverer for Israel. Man, do we not see the connection from Moses to Jesus Christ, how he's a type of Christ? The second time he goes to them. See, the first time he was rejected, but the second time he shows up and he's a ruler and a deliverer, a savior. I mean, that's what he is the second time, and that's what Jesus Christ is going to be to the Jews. When he comes back, he's going to be a savior to them. These are all these prophecies that tell and so all Israel shall be saved. This is what it's talking about when you look at that. It's the second time when he comes back, that's when all Israel's going to see him, and they'll be saved at that time. just the parallels are amazing to me. Now, Stephen is drawing out how both Joseph and Moses have been rejected by God's people, and soon Christ is going to be as well in the message Stephen's preaching. And that's the point he's getting to. That's really the theme of his message, is that as a whole, you all have continued to reject God's plan. I mean, that's Acts chapter 7 in a nutshell. Why do you, God's chosen people, the ones he chose to send the Messiah through, as he started with their history, teaching them this is how it took place, why have you guys always rejected him? And that's exactly what they do at the end of his message. You reject God over and over and over again. For some reason, they continue to reject God's messenger. Again, it's a continuing pattern of the Israelites and something that we today need to learn. The messengers of God must be ready for continued rejection by God's people and remain faithful right where they are as God prepares them to help his people. It's important we get that the messengers of God must be ready for continued rejection by God's people and remain faithful right where they are as God prepares them to help his people. Moses was rejected, but he remained faithful where he was, and it was at this point that God called him to fulfill his ultimate purpose. Even though the circumstances were not ideal, he remained faithful where he was. He went from a king's palace, and from the king's palace, he ended up in the backside of the desert shepherding sheep. I mean, that's what he ended up doing. And went from everything that he did have, it wasn't ideal, but he remained faithful where he was. And we know from Hebrews chapter 3, it says that Moses was faithful over his house. All right, and just like Christ is a son over his own house, whose house are we? All right, but Moses remained faithful, and we're to remain faithful. So as we look at this, this is really for any Christian servant. This is for all of us to remain faithful right where we are, to not let the circumstances of life, the different issues that may happen, whatever it may be, to not let those dissuade us from remaining faithful to God. This is what we need to carry with us, is that we will remain faithful and steadfast. You know, be unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. I mean, that's what we want to do no matter what life's circumstances bring us. Because Moses could have used this, the rejection by God's people, he could have left and completely just walked away from God. But I don't think that that's the picture. That is not the picture that's painted for me of him in the Bible. I think when he was rejected by them, I think he did some soul searching and he looked and he grew closer to God and he realized he made some mistakes. And I think all that time out in the desert, you know, feeding the flock and shepherding the flock around to different places gave him a lot of time to talk with God and to grow a relationship with God and get closer to God. And that's what he used it for. Even though it wasn't an ideal circumstance, he used that time to get closer to God rather than as an excuse like so many people do when something bad happens in life. I mean, think about it. Put yourself in Moses' place. He was essentially the king of the world at the time. Because Egypt was the world power at the time. And I mean, he was likely in line and being groomed to be the next Pharaoh. He had everything and anything he wanted. Hebrews tells us that he gave up the pleasures of sin for a season to suffer reproach with the people of God. He gave that up. Now put yourself in that place. He left all of that. He was even rejected by the people he wanted to help. Rejected by them, gave all that up to help these people that rejected him. And now how easy would it be for him to get bitter and get mad and be like, forget them then, I'm done with that, and just be done with God and God's people? How easy would that have been for him? Because I'm telling you, that happens quite a bit within Christianity. People get hurt by something that happened. It might be outside of their ability to influence it. It might be something they caused, like with Moses. But something happens and they get mad at God and they hate God. And they quit on God. But see, the challenge for us and what's being put before us is to remain faithful. Remain faithful in the face of rejection. Even though everything seems like it's falling apart, remain faithful. Now, by the way, remind yourself that it's not like it was bad for a year and then it got better. Now, I understand he got a wife and all of that stuff, but what he wanted to do, his original purpose, he wasn't able to fulfill that in a year. And you know what? Bad things can happen in this life, and God has a purpose for us, something he wants us to do, and maybe we're dissuaded, we're having to postpone actually being able to do it. And in that time, it doesn't mean that good things don't happen within that even. Because good things can still happen, even though we may be not right where we'd like to be. But it took Moses 40 years before he could get back there. So we need to slow things down sometimes and think, wait a minute, I'm expecting this like right now. And I need to just trust God. And I need to look to God and just believe what God says and just follow God's word, even though everything around me may be falling apart. Even though everything around me isn't the best. Everything around me isn't exactly what I like. And I need to just remain faithful. Keep trusting God. I need to just keep following God and be patient and be long-suffering and be willing to wait. Be willing to wait. I like this saying that I've heard before, don't undo in the night what God showed you in the light. Don't undo in the night what God showed you in the light. What's it talking about? When things don't look good, when things are bad, don't undo it if God showed it to you when you were close to Him, when you were hearing from Him, when you were walking with Him like you should. Don't undo it just because maybe it is your fault. Maybe you have gotten away from God. Maybe you don't feel close to Him. Maybe you do have sin in your life that's pushed you away from Him or pushed Him away from you. But don't undo what you know God wants. What He confirmed to you when everything was right, when you were right with Him, don't undo it because it's dark right now. We have to keep trusting God. And I believe Moses persevered in that. I believe he had a lot of trials once he came back and led the children of Israel, but that would have been tough. Again, I've told you all this before, but I believe Moses is personally the best leader that has ever lived. Hands down, the best leader that has ever lived. That's my opinion. Obviously, that does not include Jesus Christ, okay? We don't, with things like that, I don't count God amongst us, okay? That He's obviously God's the best leader there's ever been. But amongst men, Moses is the best leader that's ever been. And he went through a lot of trials in leading the children of Israel. But I think his greatest challenge was persevering, and when it says he was faithful over all his house, I think this goes back to starting right here when he fled from Egypt and those 40 years. I personally believe he was faithful to God and he was walking with God, and God was preparing him. God was teaching him some things. God was showing him through shepherding. It's amazing how some of the best leaders for God's people have been shepherds. David. Every other king is compared to David. Jesus Christ is going to sit on David's throne, okay? But they've been shepherds. Moses was a shepherd. And God was using that to prepare him. There's going to be a lot of alone time if you're a shepherd where you get to talk to God. And God used all that to prepare him. And I think he was faithful even then. See, God doesn't just pick someone that he can't count on. God does not work like that. This is why he says to lay hands suddenly on no man. Because you need to test him. You need to know. Prove it. Prove what you are. This is why the qualifications for a pastor. Look at them. These things must first be proved. Let's look and see if this is there. There's a lot of men in pulpits that have no business being behind the pulpit. And I'm not just talking about men that preach. I'm talking specifically about pastors. Okay, they have no business being a pastor because they don't meet the qualifications. And someone did them a disservice, and the people they're going to be leading a disservice by ordaining them and allowing them to put their stamp of approval on them and say, yeah, you can be a pastor. we'll put our stamp of approval on you. That's many times never should have happened. But Moses was faithful. He was proving himself already. And that's what we have to do as God's people. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Well done, thou good and faithful servants. And this is what God's looking for. So when the darkness comes, the bad times come, and rejection has come, what we need to do is we need to remain faithful. We need to be faithful in the face of rejection. As Moses remained faithful, it's here that God called him to fulfill his ultimate purpose. It's in the ordinary places of life that God often reaches out to his rejected servants. As we look at Acts chapter 7, verse 29, it says, "Then fled Moses at this saying," which is verse 28, "Wilt thou kill me as thou didst the Egyptian yesterday?" "Then fled Moses at this saying and was a stranger in the land of Midian, where he begat two sons." So he flees. "And when 40 years were expired, there appeared to him in the wilderness of Mount Sinai an angel of the Lord in a flame of fire in a bush." And the ordinary places of life is when God often reaches out to his rejected servants. What was he doing? The same thing he did every day. He was doing the same thing he did every day, just the monotony of the day. He just got up and went to work like he always did. That's what he was doing. There was nothing special about it. There was nothing different than any other day. He's just out there doing his job, and that's when God speaks to him. And why would that be? There's oftentimes you see when God calls a man. Look at when he calls the apostles. Look in the Old Testament when he calls people, when he calls prophets, when it shows us his call on them. What are they doing? They're just doing their job. They're just working. They're just living their life. The apostles, some of them were fishing. Matthew was collecting taxes. I mean, this is how God works. This is what God does. Why would he wait to see, why would he even show us that I'm calling people when they're working? You know why? Because that shows something. It shows faithfulness. Faithfulness. And he wants those that are going to work. That's what God's looking for. He wants those that are going to work. So in the ordinary places of life is when God will often reach out to his rejected servants. Just the ordinary places of life. And that's where Moses was when God reached out to him and called him to his ultimate purpose. For any of us, if we're going to faithfully proclaim the word of God, we must prepare ourselves for rejection. You hear that? As we go to proclaim the word of God, we have to prepare ourselves for rejection. That's for anybody sitting in here right now. You go to share the gospel with your family, prepare yourself for rejection. You go to share the gospel with coworkers, prepare yourself for rejection. You go to share the gospel with strangers, prepare yourself for rejection. But especially for any man that feels that God is calling him to be a preacher, you better prepare yourself for rejection. Amen. You've got to be able to stand and stand alone. Amen. When no one else will make that decision, you have to be able to stand and stand alone. I can't stress this enough. That if you're going to be a preacher, if you're going to be a man called by God, you better have a backbone. And you better be able to stand when nobody else will stand. You better be able to stand when you may have to stand alone and everybody leaves you. You better stand. Because you're not answering to them, you're answering to God. And you have to be ready to do that. You have to be ready for rejection. You have to be ready for it. Because you never know when it's coming. Prepare yourself for rejection if you're going to faithfully proclaim God's word. Be faithful enough not to lie to yourself and tell yourself that you're still proclaiming God's word when you compromise on it. Because I promise you, that day will come when you look at it and you say, well, I shouldn't say this. Maybe I should just back off of this just a little bit. Oh, I promise you that day will come. And you're going to have to decide what you're going to say. Now, there's a time and a season for everything, and there are times as a pastor you have to say, it's not time for me to preach this yet. But that's, I'm talking about something different. There's a time and a place for everything. There's a way to say things. But you'll know what it is. If you pastor and you're going to stand and proclaim God's word, you'll know when it's compromised or not. You'll know when God's telling you, you need to say this right now, and you just say it. And you're going to have to decide, am I going to be faithful to the word of God, or am I going to compromise it and water it down? Because you can find people that you can go talk to preachers and say, hey, I'm thinking about, I need to say, this needs to be said. What do you think? Well, you know, you could maybe say it like this. And they're going to tell you to tone it down and to water it down. You can find them. And they'll say, oh, you're still faithful to the word of God. No, you're not. No, you're not. Look at the state of churches and tell me that preachers are faithful to the word of God. Just look at the state of churches. What a joke they are. They're a joke. I just saw today the fruit of so-called churches today, and where they're standing, and then some kid, he's probably, I don't know, 14, 15, 16 years old, and he went out to go soul winning today, picking up a family member from school, and he got to lead six people to the Lord, six kids. Six kids to the Lord. He got them to pray a prayer. Oh, but he made sure they understood. He asked them, do you understand? Yeah. Do they understand it? I doubt it. I know the watered down gospel that's preached. I doubt it. Look at the state of churches. Out of these churches around here, look what's happening. They allow fornicators to openly stay as members of the church. Nothing happens to them. Nothing. Don't tell me you're faithful to the word of God and you won't stand for that. You won't stand for what the Bible says. Stop telling me you love the word of God. You're a liar if you say you love the word of God and you're going to compromise on this stuff. Amen. Simple things. I'm not talking about, I'm not sure what this is. I'm talking about the simple, straightforward things that God says. Drunkards, members of churches. And people know it. Well, how can we help them if they're not here? By obeying the word of God. That's how you help them. You turn them over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh unless you don't believe the Bible. Which is all that proves to me is they don't believe the word of God. They don't believe it. You men have to decide what you're going to do. The day will come. I promise you it'll come. And you better count the cost and be willing to pay the price. Because that day will come. Moses was essentially rejected for wanting to deliver God's people from bondage. You think people would rejoice over that? But they don't. They don't. They'll hate you for it. They'll despise you for it. Moses was rejected. He was despised. Even when he first came back, they still didn't want him. Remember that. Men of God, remember that. When he came back, they still didn't want him. At that point, after 40 years, he's like, you guys still don't want me? Fine. Forget this. I'm out of here then. I've got my family. I've got my home. I've got everything I need. But he didn't do that. Why didn't Moses do that? Because he was faithful. Yes, he loved God. He was faithful. In the face of rejection. He wanted to deliver God's people from bondage, from enslavement. And they didn't want it. But just like with Moses, people will get mad when you try to deliver them from their bondage. They're going to get mad at you. You're trying to help them. You're trying to teach them truth. You're trying to show them how this is bad for you, how this keeps you locked up and bound. And they'll get mad at you. You have to choose if you're going to be faithful or not. It's a strange thing to me Especially as you look at, as Moses begins to speak to the Egyptians, and when the plague with the frogs comes, Pharaoh gets Moses. He says, hey, can you take these away? Sure, you just say the word. Well, not today, but tomorrow. You ever thought about that? When you look there in Exodus, it's like, why tomorrow? Why wouldn't you want them gone today? Why do you want another day with this plague? I mean, frogs everywhere. Think it'd be frogs everywhere. In your bed. You walk outside, they're just everywhere. Just imagine the stink of all the frogs being run over. How bad it would smell. They're just, you open the door, they're hopping in your house. They're everywhere. They're coming out of everywhere. Imagine that. And he said, well, not, well, just one more day with the frogs. It's not that bad. What? But that's how people are with their sin. Oh, tomorrow I'll fix that. Tomorrow, this thing that's killing me, this thing that's destroying me, because we don't see it as that bad. That's our problem. All of us. But people love the sin that keeps them in bondage. And as God's people, as God's messengers, we have to be willing to share the truth with them. And, you know, some people say when we need to have compassion and we need to share the truth in love. I agree 100% with that.
Amen.
I absolutely agree with that. And that is what I do. If someone doesn't believe me that that's what I do, that's fine. I don't care. But we need to understand that standing for the Word of God and standing for truth is not unloving. Amen. Condoning someone in their sin is not love. Now, there's one thing between preaching and there's another thing between talking to somebody one-on-one. And that's a lot of times what people cannot distinguish between. Even if it's one-on-one, even if it's open rebuke. I think the Bible says open rebuke is better than secret love.
Amen.
But even if it's open rebuke, people misunderstand that all the time and they think it's harsh and unloving. And I'm like, okay, let's back up and let's look at, because what that is that is a watering down of the Word of God and it's compromise. When they use that as an excuse to compromise and to coddle people in their sin, that's all that is used for. When they say, we need to be compassionate and we need to tell the truth in love. Like, how do you know I'm not saying it in love?
Right.
I mean, was Jesus saying it in love when he overthrew the money changers' tables? Was he when he called the scribes and the Pharisees vipers? When he called Herod a fox? That's not a compliment, by the way. He was saying he's sly, he's sneaky. Are you saying that wasn't in love because it was just straightforward? See, this is what we need to start looking at the Bible and start thinking like the Bible.
Amen.
And just calling things what they are. Because let's back up and let's take the opposing view of the people that say that, well, you're just unloving and you need to say those things with compassion and love. Okay, let's back up and take that view. Let's look at how that has worked for America. Because that's been the majority view for America for the last, you know, what, back to probably to the 30s, for the last 90 years, almost 100 years. That's been the majority view. How has that done for America so far? What have we got now? We got more people fornicating than getting married. We got sodomite marriage approved by our government. We've got transgenders as something normal. We've got abortion on demand for any reason, divorce for any reason. And now all of this stuff is allowed in churches. And they're accepting it. As well, we just need to love people. Like Calvary Chapel here in Albuquerque had their campaign 4 years ago. Jesus loves people. Jesus and then a heart people. Yes, he does. He loved them enough so much to tell them that the way they were living was sin. That the woman taken in adultery was a sinner. And she's go and sin no more. But that's not what's being taught today. What's being taught today is condone them in it. Tell them it's okay. Don't tell them it's wrong. You're going to push them away and they won't hear. They won't hear what? More false doctrine? See, if we're going to be faithful, then we got to be faithful to all of it. We don't get to pick and choose.
Amen.
We don't get to pick and choose. See, this is why much of the type of Christianity that we are is called militant. And amen, it is. Because no, this is what it says. This is where we stand. We're not backing down. We're not giving in. And that's been our attitude because we've been effeminized. Because men don't lead their homes and women lead the homes. That's what that stuff comes down to right there. That's what's happened. We have to stand boldly. People love the sin that keeps them in bondage. Many times they refuse to see that they're in bondage and servitude. But we must show them. We have to preach the truth. We have to share the truth with them. It's incumbent on us to do that.